Hi, this is Dutama with the Association for Middle Level Education, and I'm joined today by Angela Falter Thomas. Dr. Thomas joined the faculty of Bowling Green State University in 2009 as an assistant professor. Her work has been published in Voices from the Middle, Middle Level Learning, Middle Ground, and AMLE Magazine. Of course, the article that you're checking out right here, May of 2015, and the Journal of Ethnographic and Qualitative Research. Angela is one of the few teachers in the United States who's ever earned not one, but two National Board certifications. Her first was earned in 2004 as an early childhood generalist, and her second in 2007 as an early adolescent English language arts teacher. And of course, before joining the faculty at BGSU, Angela was a middle school reading and English teacher at Seneca East, which is located in Attica, Ohio, where she taught public school for 20 years. And of course, she is also the wonderful author of this article, Dealing with Death, the Toughest Lesson. So we want to thank you so much, not only for all the time and dedication that you spent to the field of education, Dr. Thomas, but for this wonderful article. So thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Drew.
All right, so I'm going to get straight to the questions. With this topic, why do you think this subject is particularly vital for young adolescents and their teachers to deal with? Why at this age?
I think it's very important for teachers of all ages to know about the topic of the death of a student, because this important topic is not typically taught in teacher preparation or even later in teachers' professional development. It's like no one wants to even think about it, and then when it happens, no one knows what to do. For young adolescents, as you know, Drew, this time in their lives is pivotal. We know tremendous change and growth is taking place socially and emotionally, and the death of a sibling or a classmate can really be life-altering. Students at this young age need adult empathy and sensitivity to help them cope when horrific situations such as death occur, especially because of the adolescent's rapidly changing brain at this point in their growth and development. They need adult help to cope and to process what's happening.
In the article, first of all, thank you for sharing Christy's story and how you felt through that. How important is writing and sharing with others as a part of the grieving process? How can or how should teachers incorporate that into their own lessons?
Thank you, Drew. We sure miss her. She was a sweetheart. From the time of our daughter, Christy Thomas's diagnosis with cancer, I started blogging to help myself cope. And then throughout her battle over the course of 4 years, I wrote. And I believe writing helped me tremendously throughout her journey, as well as after her death, keeping my journal going and dealing with all the emotions that I was experiencing myself. And in fact, Drew, I still maintain her website, and writing still helps me cope as I'm trying to get to acceptance. I believe teachers need to offer opportunities for their students to write every day and to have some sort of open topics where students can write about what's on their mind and what they want to share with their teachers, because there's tremendous power and healing in the writing process. Middle-level students need to express themselves, and this writing can offer the wonderful opportunity and positive outlet for them to do just that.
Excellent. And of course, the genuine writing and giving that time to write for purposes that are their own. I think that that's what our young adolescents really need in that way. So thank you for...
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Self-selected topics and choice is so important.
Right. Even when those topics can be difficult to deal with, maybe that's the most important thing, is that we're not shielding them from what's, you know, important for them to think about and consider.
I agree.
In your article, too, you mentioned three R's, you know, reach, remember, and respect. And those three R's, they're wonderful tools from the heart, as you most aptly put it. How did you arrive at these three tools? And while this may be difficult, is there one that is especially vital when you consider them?
The teacher in me that came up with the three R's, obviously, but a little twist on them because of the situations that I've had to deal with and cope with in my life. So a reach, remember, respect really just come from my heart as a teacher and as a mom who's experienced the unthinkable, the death of her child. Reach means ask the family what you can do to help, or just follow your heart and do what you would want done for you to make the family feel better or to ease their stress. Remember means that impact experienced by classmates and surviving siblings is going to last for years, not days, weeks, or months, but years. And I would encourage others not to be afraid to mention the deceased person's name and to share stories about that individual. Family members and friends really long to hear their loved one's name spoken, and they're concerned that others have forgotten their loved one when certainly they will never forget their loved one. And then finally, respect means that people will grieve and process the tragedy in many different ways. And we need to be sensitive to this.
You mentioned what teachers can do and what students should be doing as well in order to work through, like you said, horrific experiences and tragic situations. Another audience that I think about too, what can middle-level leaders, specifically administrators, do to help when students and teachers experience a tragedy?
Knowing that a surviving family needs special attention, concern, and support and guidance for years to come is really important to remember. I mean, their lives are forever changed, and it's like a wound that's going to take an incredibly long time to heal. And I think schools are quick to help when that initial tragedy occurs, but I would hope that administrators and leaders of the school would remember and reach out to the family at special times, such as graduations and other school celebrations, as the years go by. I know a simple email or a card from an administrator goes a long way to a family who's sitting at home knowing everyone's celebrating the children's milestones that are never going to happen for their child. I think families of deceased children worry that others will forget about their child and they're not there to make new memories or have celebrations. So knowing that a school leader would remember and care certainly can help ease the pain.
Well, thank you so much, Angela, for that answer. Clearly, your heartfelt thought that you've put into the content in the article and the heartfelt response that you've just given, definitely words for us to remember as teachers as well as educational leaders. And looking at, and I know your English language arts background and your national board certification, you can appreciate a metaphorical journey. So it's okay, I'm going to take you down a metaphorical journey right now. If you're up for it. All right.
Okay,
so,
I am.
Okay. So if middle level education was a food, what kind of food would it be and why?
Okay. I love teaching middle school students. I taught for 20 years before earning my PhD and becoming a professor at the university. And as a 6th, 7th, and 8th grade language arts teacher, some would cringe and say to me things like, how can you teach middle school? So to them, they probably say Brussels sprouts because nobody likes them. But to me, I think middle-level education is like bread. It's substantial, it's needed and good, and there's great variety.
Very nice. No matter how you slice it, it's it's good bread, right? And you can make lots of different things with it. So I think that's a very apt choice.
Yes.
Very, very nice. So middle level education as bread. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. With crusts and with the crust and everything. You can't cut the crust off. You got to have it all.
Absolutely. Yep, it's a part of it.
That is true. All right. Well, Dr. Thomas, gosh, thank you so, so much again for this article and for allowing us to interview you today. We appreciate your time and effort.
Thanks, Drew. It was nice chatting with you.
Excellent. And thank you, AMLE Magazine readers, for checking out this article as well as this podcast here at AMLE, where we help you reach every student, grow professionally, and create great schools. Thanks.